My name is Michael Kirk. I'm running for Spokane County Clerk. I grew up in South Carolina in the Hill Country, not far from the Appalachians, just as we sit in the shadow of the Rockies here. Very agricultural area, but also making that transition to big business and higher education and all the things that are making our economy continue to grow here in Spokane. Grew up in a family with a strong military heritage, a strong faith tradition, and went into ministry and towards the end of my time in high school and on through college and thereafter. And my family, we moved out here to Spokane just about 3 years ago to settle down and start our family. Thea came along just shortly thereafter.
Thea is sitting on the floor by her dad and drawing on.
2.5 years old and making a beautiful pen drawing on the floor. There is paper, thankfully, in between her and the floor. My wife works in community mental health in the area. And you know, like a lot of folks, I got kind of disturbed with the direction that politics was going over the last several years. And decided to get more involved, and then in particular, this race came along, and I reckon we'll probably talk about that a little bit more later on.
Yeah, for example, tell me what the county clerk's office does.
Well, the county clerk's office is responsible for receiving, logging, filing, and maintaining all of the court documents and evidence that passes through the superior court. And they do the same thing for the juvenile court. They also have departments that work in finance and customer service. It's an important job because they essentially function as the backbone of the judicial system in Spokane. Without the work that the clerk's office does, the judges wouldn't have the files at hand that they need to properly assess the cases that are in front of them. Exculpatory evidence might not make it to public defenders, and evidence that's necessary for a prosecution could easily be lost.
So how do you convince folks that you're qualified enough for the job?
Well, I was actually trained in very specifically in the same sort of work during my years in ministry. So I spent about 15 years in ministry. And during that time, of course, I was trained in people-oriented management, servant leadership, being there for the people that work for you and supportive, because it's in that sort of environment that people are comfortable to bring forward their mistakes and their questions, which prevent those from becoming the kind of catastrophes that can come about when a legal system isn't able to retrieve the documents and evidence that it needs. I was also, during my years in ministry, trained as a canon law case assistant. So I worked directly with people in completing their legal documents, determining which sort of case they had and needed to file, and making sure that each detail of it thereof was perfect before it was sent off, so that we're not wasting months of these people's lives and we're not wasting the time of the judges, which in the canon law system, that's three judges at a time, and you don't want to bother one judge, much less three. But it was during all that time, especially digging through the sometimes centuries-old documents to find the files that people were looking for, I got to understand just how deeply documents can affect people's lives. And with the county clerk's office, you're talking about juvenile dependency, guardianship, adoption, juvenile offenders. They're touching people's lives in severe and dramatic ways. And they need not only for that system to be reliable for them so that they're not dragged through it more often and unnecessarily, but also they really need for it to be a warm and welcoming environment so that it's not as traumatic as it can sometimes be.
So did you work in a system with Spokane County Court System where literally tens of thousands of documents a year? Do you have that experience?
I would work with more on the scale of hundreds of documents each year in the work that I was doing. Of course, I didn't have a staff of 56 working for me. So that's a notable distinction there. I did work with teams of dozens of people in managing volunteer work, which actually I think prepares me better for working with civil servants because when you're working with volunteers, they can drop it and leave at a moment's notice. There's nothing that's keeping them there except for their joy in the mission at hand. And with civil servants, where they've got a good resume, they've got recommendations, they can move on to better paying jobs, you have to treat them well and with respect and fight for a just working situation for them, or you lose that experience, which is something that we've seen with the clerk's office here, that in the last 5 years, or 4 years even, they've had 50% turnover, which every manager I've talked to says that's kind of insane. So they've been losing experience left and right. And the training program for these clerks and process clerks, who again keep the legal system running, is down from the 3-month standard of the prior clerk down to 2 weeks because they can't keep people around. So it's not the Marine Corps at the clerk's office. You know, if you leave your post in the Marine Corps, you can get court-martialed or shot. When you leave the clerk's office, you can get a pay raise. So you have to treat people well to keep them around, and that's simply indispensable in the clerk's office and the business that it does.
So are you saying the current system, the current office is mismanaged?
Well, yeah. I've actually filed a public records request to get that information specifically. As soon as I filed, I was hearing stories from the inside of what was going on, and it was disheartening to know. I don't want to get into details just yet until I have the documents to go into it further. But Colonel Fitzgerald himself has owned up to at least 26 people leaving in the last 4 years. And my sources say it's significantly more than that even.
Okay, so this is job that requires good technical ability. It is not, a lot of people have said it shouldn't be a political job, mm-hmm. but you have to declare a political party. Which party
sure
have
do.
You declared?
I've declared in the Democratic Party.
And why is that?
For a number of reasons. At this point in time, I feel it's more so the big tent party. It's a party that has people of a much wider range of political opinions. You have folks everywhere from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who just got a win in the New York primary for a congressional seat, to Senator Joe Manchin, who supports the coal industry and other fossil fuel interests, and everything in between, pro-life and pro-choice. Whereas in my view, over the last 10 years especially, since the emergence of the Tea Party, the Republican Party has been becoming more and more extreme, representing less and less of America. And I believe in things being people-powered rather than corporate-powered. And that's very much so what you see in most Democratic candidates today, is that their donations are largely from individual citizens and residents of the U.S. And not, you know, 4- and 5-figure checks from corporate PACs.
Yeah. So do you feel if you're elected, you can step right in as head of the clerk's office, or is there going to be some ramp up, so to speak?
Well, I think that there are two phases of transition. The system is set up pretty well in that the newly elected don't take office until the 1st of January of the following year. So that's nearly 2 months to get in and familiarize oneself with exactly how things are running. I'm hopeful that Tim would give me access to the office to do that sort of work in the interest of the people. There's also a subsequent time of transition where I would be engaging in a series of interviews with the staff there to assess how their training has been done and to ensure that we address any gaps that have been left. The training that I received as a canon law case assistant was 4 months long, and the previous standard here was 3 months. So with only 2 weeks, we know that for a fact that that's not enough to do all of the practical and mental habit forming that's necessary to reliably perform the tasks that are associated, which are intricate at times. So we want to find out exactly where those gaps are and develop a plan to address them. And that will take a little bit of time after taking office, but we hope to have everyone updated in their training and ready to make a difference and do things competently and joyfully well before the end of 2019.
So are there specific initiatives that you want to work on?
Well, I'd like to build a practice of reverse mentorship, whereby supervisors have a habit of learning from the people who are on the front line, so to speak, that the court clerks and the process clerks should be informing their supervisor of the challenges that they face. And as it happens right now, the supervisor of those court clerks was promoted out of the finance department. So that's a desperately needed area, especially now. But also in the other departments, that the folks who are on the ground, so to speak, have experience that's valid and important and can help to improve not just training, but the day-to-day operation.
So you seem to have pretty good knowledge about what's going on in that office. Do you have people in there who are drafted you to run for this office, or?
No, I first got interested in this office. I was just looking at candidates, just researching folks in all sorts of races to see what they were about, to just be an informed voter and volunteer. No, ma'am. And I stumbled across something in my Google search on Tim Fitzgerald of Spokane that I found to be inappropriate for somebody whose job is maintaining court documents. And I proceeded to try to recruit somebody else to run for this race, two people in particular. And they both declined to get into the mess of a political campaign, which I really can't blame them. It's a lot of work and a lot of scrutiny and a lot of negativity that I don't begrudge anyone for not wanting to partake of. But right after I filed, people that are currently in the clerk's office, who I won't name for their protection, and people who had left it in recent years, reached out to me almost immediately with their concerns about what was going on there. And I've proceeded to get more and more information about that as we've gone along. And it just confirms in me that this is a race that needs to be run. I certainly don't have the money or the connections that Colonel Fitzgerald does. But hopefully when the people learn about what's going on and what's at stake, they'll get behind us.
Okay. Anything that I didn't ask you about, Michael, that you wanted to say? Were there any issues that were important to you?
Well, yeah, I think that there are some aspects of the county clerk's position that aren't appreciated by everybody, including the current clerk. For instance, the clerk sits on the Spokane Regional Law and Justice Council. It's an important committee that has the duty to examine the criminal justice system and find ways to make it more just and efficient. And there's a number of problems here in Spokane, namely that 50% of the people in our county jail are there on pretrial confinement because we're putting people on remand, not even giving them a chance to make bail. Or in 29% of cases, the bail is set at over $5,000. And there's a lot of folks that simply can't reach that $50,000 to get a bail. So we've got kind of this poor people's prison for people who should be presumed innocent by the legal system. And that's something that needs to be addressed. And it was identified by the recent safety and justice challenge from the MacArthur grant that we started here. But in the time since we began that study and identified that problem, it's only gotten worse. So we need action. We need concerted direction to act on that. And that's at least something that I could advocate for. You know, it'd just be one vote, one voice, but it'd be one vote and one voice more that matters. Another issue that's important is budget. You know, the clerk's office right now is in the middle of a technological renovation. And when the commissioners who appointed Colonel Fitzgerald 4 years ago told him to cut budget, he just did, even though there's need for new equipment And there's need to maintain experience, which costs a pay raise, which costs requisitions. It's just simply not a time to be cutting budget. Prosecutor Haskell and Sheriff Knezovich both stood up to the commissioners and said no, but Tim didn't. And that's something that, from my experience in ministry, when there are higher principles involved, sometimes you plant your feet, you stare the pastor in the eye, and you say you're wrong. And that's something that I'm prepared to do.